All right, now, we're back into, of course, what book?
Genesis.
All right, now Genesis chapter 1. Now, it says I've got to try to move it along a lot faster pace because I know it gets a little bit boring. But I find, you know, my goal was to try to learn, for you to learn, rather, some of the very deeper meanings, should I say, of the Hebrew words and how they came about. At the same time, why it's mentioned in the very first chapter. So it's very few key things I want you to try to remember. What are the same things you've learned so far or try to remember about as far as we got? No one remembers anything, huh? Oh, yes, Ellie.
Hosea.
Susan.
That the whole of the gospel is summed up in Genesis 1, verse 1.
That's correct. Ah, okay. Any other thing? Yes.
That the earth was not created in chaos and confusion.
Earth was not created in chaos and tohu vavohu. And that's why Isaiah is very clear about that. And so we have to kind of believe that story, right? So we know that in the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the very first statement by the Bible, right? And if something happened to the earth, it was definitely covered with choshech, with darkness. And what did God do?
Spoke light.
He did what?
Spoke into existence light, or commanded light to come forth.
Commanded light to come forth. He didn't create light in the first day. It already existed. All right? Already existed. Now, when he made the command, let the light come, why would God want the light to come forth? Real quick.
To drive out the darkness.
Yeah. He doesn't work in choshech. All right. God does not work in darkness. He always works in light. And we are called the sons of
light.
So we're not the sons of Hoshech. We are the sons of Or. Or Orim. All right. So that's kind of interesting to know. So we know that we get into this part now. There are certain statements that I have gone through, and I want to rebrief them again because we're coming to a new word in Hebrew. All right, verse 3, what's the very first statement in Hebrew? Vayomer Elohim, and God said. Now, what I'm saying about this is that it's very important that sometimes we hear this word repeated over and over and over and over again, especially in Genesis here, first verse. It's kind of telling us something. Listen, okay, everything that he has said happens, it occurred. And the other thing he talked about is, and God calls. Now, what does a call mean? I'm sorry, what? No, he calls something.
An invitation to come forth.
An invitation.
A command to come forth.
He called the what? He called the order what? He called it, or he called the light, he called what? Okay, there you go. He called. Okay, now we have a name change, right? The name change of what's light during today. What does day mean in Hebrew?
Hot.
Hot, yes. Hot or warm. Not burning hot, you know, but warm. And then I said heaven, and then God sees. There's a very fascinating statement here in Hebrews where he says, and God sees, or God saw. Now, why did he have to see? Why did he have to look? Remember? What was his statement? It was Kitov. What does Kitov mean?
Because it's
what?
Because it's
good. A very fascinating terminology in Hebrew. And though your English says because it is good. But in Hebrew, it's very powerful. He called, he saw it, and he said, Kitov, because it's good. So that's why he saw the light. Light coming, he says, it's good. So it's a very good word to remember. But he said, now a new word we're coming in today, and it has to do with verse 7. And what does it have there? Vayas Elohim. Vayas Elohim. Vayas means what? made, make, or do. He's not creating here. We'll get to this point. He's not because already was created. What he's doing is making something now with what he has created. Not that big. Remember, it was in Tohu, Bavohu, and it was in Hoshech. And therefore, the first thing he had to do in order to work, again, I can use that terminology, is to bring forth the light, and the light obeyed him. And it's Kito, because it was good. It did its job, did its function. So now we got these Hebrew words of he said, he spoke, he called, and now he makes. These are not words to be interchanged with one another in Hebrew. They are very distinct in their Hebrew words and Hebrew tongue. All right? And so we have to come to the point that now at this point in time, God now is going to make something. What's he going to make? He made the firmament do something. What did he make the firmament do? Divide. So now he starts dividing. We went through the vision before. I don't want to go through that again. And so now we go into, and he turns around, and now verse 8, he says, and he calls. There's this word. He call again. What's the word for call? I'm sorry, what? Yes, yes. What's the book of Leviticus called?
Nikra.
And he called. So you kind of remember that stuff. So when God calls, something has to respond to what he is calling. Now, some of you have a belief system that God called you. Well, if he did, you better respond. If he's called you to a calling, we use it in the Christian world, you better figure out, is it his calling or is it my calling? You know, when it comes out of his mouth, it should terrify you if you don't do it. It should frighten you. All right? If you don't do it. Okay? But if you do it, it should please you. It should be a blessing to you. And be a blessing to those things that he has said for you to do. So, with that in mind, we have this thing. I'll go briefly, but go through a few words here today. But before we go, we go some of the in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16. Guess what? And he did what? Verse 16, what does it say?
He made two great lights.
He made two great lights. When did he make those two great lights?
The sun and moon.
They already were. So now he's come in. You gotta be very careful with the wording here because it says here at verse 11. And he said, what? About the earth. What did he say here in verse 9? Let the waters. What did I say the word let the means? He's given them a job to function and carry out. So now we come into the sun, the moon, the stars. What are they going to become? Verse 14, let them be.
Oats and mowing.
Let them be. So now they are in a function. They're doing a job. They're doing a job, and he set them. He didn't, quote, set them in motion. Sometimes we think in our world that he just kind of set that in motion, and now he's off in fairy, fairy land, and once in a while he takes a look and see if it's still in motion. No. God constantly is in control of every motion and movement of this earth. If you don't remember Joshua, he stopped it. And you remember Hezekiah? He reversed it. So he's constantly in control of everything. He is not out there in the middle of nowhere. So it comes into what's called the appointed time. It wasn't something that was brought into motion and God has no control over it. Right? We won't go there. Remember what it says in the book of Revelations? One-third of the sun, one-third of the moon, one-third of the stars. He's talking about the Moedim. All right? It's going to be one-third cut, one-third cut, one-third cut. What does that mean? Well, we're going to have to think about that because I don't have the answer to you for right now. And I'm not looking at it because I'm not a prophet guy. Okay, all I can do is read what it says. Yes.
Shorter days and shorter nights?
No, because the Moedim here in the book of Revelations, I'm sorry, and the book of, verse 16, I made two lights, one greater, of course, one to rule the day, one to rule the night, and the stars, and he set in them the firmament of the heavens to give light to the earth and to rule over the day and to rule over the night, to divide the light and from the darkness, and that God saw that it was
good.
It was good. It was ketov. Because it's good. He said it. He did it. He created it. He formed it. And so therefore we have this interesting thing of the Moedim. Now sometimes the Moedim, we have it in our minds. I'm sorry. We have it in our minds, it only refers to what the moon cycle. But that's not what it says here. Moedim includes the earth, the yearly cycle. We go from what? 50 years, and there's 20 years, and 20 years, there's 40 years, and there's 40 years. So these years also are part of the counting. So when he talks about the Moedim and the stars of and by themselves, then they're counting altogether different. It doesn't count like, quote, the moon does. The moon doesn't count. When God put the moon into a counting stage, and he put the sun into a counting stage, and he put the stars into a counting stage. Do you understand so far what I'm saying? All right. So we kind of look at this thing, and now he made them. He did something with them. This is the Hebrew word for made or to make. Now he made them to do a function and do a job, and it wasn't done the first day. It wasn't done the second day. It was done on the fourth day. Okay.
Is this going to start at the 24-hour clock?
Yeah, maybe we move by place here now. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, and the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made, and rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. All right, what else does it say there? Why doesn't see all that he created as well? We'll get into the creation here just a little bit. First thing we have to accentuate here is he did something. He was doing something. So every one of these days, he is doing something. He's putting something in effect. He calls, he says, he speaks, and it happens. His word is very, very powerful, by the way. Is your word powerful?
Yes.
How is it powerful?
Made in the image of God.
I'm sorry, speak up.
Made in the image of God.
Okay, how powerful is your word?
Well, we can bless and we can curse.
That's correct. You can bless and you can curse. By the way, a dog cannot bless and curse, can it? A snail can't bless and curse. But we can. So our words can be a blessing or can be a cursing. We have to be very careful of what we are saying. Because we are created, we'll get to the creation hope today, of the latter part. In fact, let's go to it right now. I've got to go one more point. Excuse me here. Well, let's go to verse 25. Verse 25 of chapter 1. Here's this word. And God made. Now, how did he make them? Oh. According to this kind, cattle according to this kind, everything according to this kind, so on and so forth. And verse 26. And God said, let us make. Now, how did he make man? Well, chapter 2 tells us, right? He created man, or made man, I should say first, out of what?
The dirt.
The dirt. How did he create the animals and the beast? Out of the dirt. How did the plants and trees come about? Out of the dirt. All right. So the dirt is a blessing from God. Remember I told you before? God didn't make a mistake when he created the earth. At all. What happens is that the earth became a curse. Now remember, it doesn't say heaven was in Hoshech. Just says the earth was in Hoshech. Alright? So now we come here, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, which he created out of this earth, and of the fowl of the air, which he created out of this earth, over the cattle, which he created out of this earth, and over the earth itself, and over every creeping thing, which came out of the earth, upon the earth. He never gave dominion to man to have control over the moon. We spend billions and quadrillions and trillion dollars to see if we can't control the moon by landing there, by putting things on there. It's a waste of time. God never authorized that. And no matter how much you spend, we spend money. What they say, they said, the only way we could possibly, that's what the scientists are saying this, that their plan was to first colonize the moon. This is how you can do that. Well, they have to bring the earth with them. They have to bring, you can't grow anything on the moon. They already found it. Now, all that dust stuff they brought, the moon dust, all they found, absolutely worthless. It has no value in it, no nurture in it, nothing in it, because there's nothing there. And so if man wants to live there, they have to bring the earth with them. You're not supposed to have to bring it with them. They have to bring in the water with them. What else? They have to bring the oxygen with them. They have to bring the air with them. They have to bring everything that God already created us to live in. Now, one way, that's kind of silly, isn't it? Another big new space race, I think, was the latest one was trying to get to moon, Mars, was it? Land something, land man on Mars or something like that. I can't remember what it was, the latest. Who wants to go there? But anyway, now, verse 27. God, now the word changes. Now the word changes. First, he made out of the ground an image of the Creator. Alright, I mean, he made an image from the earth up out of the ground. Right? That's what it says. Now we have to take a look at verse 27. And God created man in his own image, an image of God created he him, male and female created he them. All of a sudden the word changes. Why is there a word change? Same word that's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. What did I say about... Okay. Did God create the heavens and the earth out of nothing?
No.
He did not create out of nothing. He must have created out of something that... exist. What existed?
Him.
His will. His word. His presence. His spirit. It all came from him. It didn't come out of nothing. If you believe it came out of nothing, then you've got to believe in evolution. There's no other choice. You either have to believe this came from something that the world, you, me, and everybody came from something that has always existed, or it came from nothing, and evolution is true. If evolution is true, there is no God. Simplicity is that. Now, sometimes we can't picture God having the ability, because, see, we are flesh, we are this earth. We don't have a wisdom, knowledge, or intelligence to figure out how do you make water. Scientists today still don't know how to make water. They studied it, they researched, they broke it down chemical, they can't create oxygen, they don't know how, they can't create anything. They just take what is there and make something out of it. Well, same thing. God took this earth from verse 1 all the way to the end of this chapter. He took what he has made once he had to already created it. All right. Now it came in, this earth came into Hoshech. Now he is at the process of what we call, and use very lightly, restoration of all things. He can restore it back to the state that it once was. And the Revelations is very, very clear on that. Because God will not enter into this world in its shape and form. And he says the earth tried to run and flee, and it couldn't. No place for it to hide. And he says, I'm going to make a new heaven, and I'm going to make a new earth. A new earth. And when I do that, I'm going to come and I'm going to live on the earth. Now, God really didn't make a mistake creating the earth and saying, well, shoot, that's not where I want to live. That's not where I want to dwell. That's not. I want to up here in heaven. I want to live up here and all those people down there live down there. No, he said, I created these things so they can be, echad. They can be together. So far, we heard. Understand what I'm saying? Not really difficult. Yes.
Okay. Did I understand that there's a different word between the made that we've already gone through? And, okay, but I've got, and I can't find. I'm slow in Hebrew. I'm back up here in verse 21. It says, "God created the human." That just because.
Because he created it.
Oh, I thought there was a difference, different word.
Yeah, there's different words.
Made and create.
There is a difference between the word made and create. Don't get that confused. You're correct. He did create them. But he didn't create them.
Made them.
Sorry, what?
Made them?
No, he created them. Let's look careful what's saying. The chapter 2 in verse... is it chapter 2? No, 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And he at the evening and the morning, well, that wasn't it. Where was I? Oh, and then it's verse 2. And the seventh day, God rested from his work that he had done. That's that same word, okay, to make. And rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. And he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, and all he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Two things are listed here. Two things it created. Now, the animal world didn't exist before. Mankind didn't exist before. This is the reason why you turn and the word changes now. After he's made them from something, now it's a new creation. Yes?
This has a little... thing on here where it says created and made, and up here says created to make.
Yes, created to make. Well, that's possible translation. I can understand that one. That's okay. I'll accept that one. But what I'm saying is that the word changes here when it comes to doing something that wasn't done before. Do you understand what I'm saying? After he has formed and finished it, on the sixth day, he did something that he didn't do before. That he created something, he made something, and he created something that he didn't have before. Does that make sense to you? They didn't exist before. Trees do not have a nephesh, do they? Yes?
No.
No.
But the animals is bara animals. The animals is bara created.
Correct. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying yes. Right. What I'm saying, when we use the word create in the very first sentence, okay, then we go through all the things he called, he made, he said, he did, he saw. Now we're down to the sixth day.
Yes.
This is what we're talking about. The sixth day, he did something that he did not do prior to what happened in verse 2. That's why now he creates life. He's creating life in the animal. He's creating life in the Adam and Eve. Well, actually, in this case, Adam. Now, that's a different thing than just creating something out of the dirt. You okay? Do you understand what I'm saying so far?
Yeah.
Now, creeping, small, crawling things. We have as little fish. They have to have air. They're created.
So these things that he had made, they didn't have life until this day?
Until this day. Well, no, the water had life before they did, and the sea creatures, verse 21, they had life and all that. We're talking about that which has life, living, breathing creatures on the earth.
On the earth.
Not which is above. What is above doesn't need that stuff. Angels don't need it. And I said it before, chapter 1 never talks about creation of the angelic world, does it? Why? Because it's focusing on one thing and one thing only. Adults. What he's doing here in your life, my life, all mankind's life. Because why? Because that's what's important to him. It's so important to him that what did he do? He gave his only begotten son because he loved the world so much. Doesn't say they loved the heavens so much that he gave his only begotten son to save heaven. That's not what he's after. He's after you, me, this earth, this whole planet that he has created. And Apostle Paul says the creation moans and groans for the sons of God to take over. We sometimes don't figure that one out because we think, oh, why would a rock care? Why would a tree care? Why would a bird care? Well, they're part of creation, right? They're part of what God created in the very beginning. Yes.
We call the living things creatures.
Creatures. Because
they are created, but it doesn't say that the other stuff was created.
Like?
Made.
Made. Right.
But Yeshua said that even the stones would cry out.
Cry out.
But they still are creatures.
They're not creatures. They're not. They're breathing. They're not breathing souls. All right. So sometimes we look at things that are like a rock. And we say it has no value, unless of course it's solid gold. Oh wow! I want that one. You know. But I'm sorry, solid gold doesn't belong to you. Who took claim solid gold?
God.
God, this is all a gold mine. Sorry, you don't get it. You don't get any of it. I will get it back, no matter what you do with it, no matter how many times you melt it down, no matter how many times you put it in your finger, in your ears, no matter what, it's still mine. Yes.
Well, then man is a living nefesh, right? It said God breathed into man; he became a living soul.
Okay, that's in the next chapter.
But I know, but what with animals?
They also
are living, but they don't have a soul.
Okay, because they're the breath. From God compared to a breath in the air. We'll get to that a little bit as a spiritual concept, which we have not reached into because it's in the second chapter. I want to try to complete chapter 1 because everybody says they're getting tired of it. I think I can wrap it up chapter 1, right? Yes?
I probably shouldn't ask this.
Go ahead and ask.
Okay. I'm talking about created and made. In verse 20, it says that the waters bring forth moving creatures.
Yes.
In verse 21, it says, and God created great whales, da da da. Then down, and that was on the fifth day. Then we're in the sixth day now, and it says, let the earth bring forth living creatures, cattle, creeping things, whatever. Verse 25 says, and God made the beasts of the earth. It doesn't say created there like it does with the water.
Like it does with the water, it does. But there is a verse there. Let the earth bring forth living creatures. The word creatures there means having something that has life within itself. Didn't have it before. All right, the trees don't have living life. Okay, don't you see what I'm saying? They're different in their words.
They don't bleed.
They don't bleed, yes. All right, so now I want to be careful about something because, you know, verse, it's really hard. We'll get into verse. I'll make a quick mention of this right now. Because sometimes it's misunderstood because verse chapter 2 seems to have an entirely different story behind what took place and that Adam seemed to have been in existence long time or short time, whatever it was. But he was, Apostle Paul says, he created man first, then woman. Okay, and then in order, we see here in chapter 2, we won't go there today. The woman came along later. Wait a minute, didn't she come on sixth day also? Listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. The answer to your question is, yes, she did, but not in the flesh. He created man and woman on the sixth day, but the woman was within the man, had not yet been divided, had not yet been separated. And that's why you have that on the sixth day, he created man, male and female, in his image. The God didn't look like a woman. He didn't look like a man. God looks like a thing he created that has within him, if I use this word, we think sex, that's a bad thing about it. Inside of him creates, inside of him, from his existence, came forth not only the image of man, but the image of God within man. And the very first sixth day, there was the complete picture, the completeness of God inside of that one man, which included inside that one man, the woman. Now, he falls, God puts him in deep sleep, and he pulls her away. He pulls her out. And what did he say? He told. Because it's good. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because within man, now in male me, no, I don't have women in me. I don't know. That was Adam, all right? And from Adam, they were separated from Adam. And then from that point on, and the Apostle Paul says, men now come from women, and women, and of course, girl, women come from women. But originally, they all came from where? They came from God, who said, I am going to do this. I'm going to create myself, or part of myself, I think in the fullness, it'll be his complete self, into the man, which is called Adam. Remember, word Adam does not mean, what does it mean? Dirt. Mud. Your name is Mud, yes. Right. Sorry, women, you came from mud. But you understand what I'm saying so far? So at this point in time, I've not gotten to 10 minutes now. I want you to understand that when we look at these things, we have to not try to, okay, a different author wrote chapter 1, and another one wrote chapter 2. Chapter 1 is Elohim, and chapter 2 is Yahweh. So true, I didn't have a problem with it. That doesn't bother me at all. Does it bother you? Shouldn't bother you at all. Because the prophets say the same thing. Even though they were 500 years apart from one another, they still have the same message. They may have used different words, used different phrases at their point in time. But nonetheless, guess what? Up comes the truth. So that's kind of like a witness. Chapter 2 is a witness of chapter 1. You understand what I'm saying so far? We have in our mind, because we are earthly, we think earthly. Because we are earthly, we haven't figured out how could God create light on the first day, and there's evening and morning, and evening and morning second, evening and morning third day, and then on the fourth day, he creates light. Because, see, we are stuck on this earth, and we have mindset of this earth. We don't have the mindset of what? Yahweh. He says, let this mind be in you that was in what? Messiah, and what he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. I don't think like you think. My thoughts are much higher than your thoughts, so stop thinking that I think like you, because I don't. Our mindset must be on one thing, right? What is the mindset of the creator of heaven and earth? See, Genesis 1. This is the reason why I like Genesis 1. And the reason why I spent so much time in Genesis 1. And we're going to go on Genesis chapter 2 next week. The reason why I spent so much time in Genesis 1, because I wanted you to be able to get a picture in your mind. God said, God called, God made. What else did he do? God, what?
Created.
He created. What else did he do? He talks. He calls, he sees, and he makes. And he creates. What is left out in chapter 1? Nothing. Now, to get to the point, And this is a prophetic thing to understand how God is going to reform, reshape, and renew the whole world. To understand this point, we're going to go where he says, now you'll have dominion over this, 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 and this. Right? And then he creates the seventh day. Did he create the seventh day because he was tired?
No.
Why did he create the seventh day? You all were here last week on the book of Hebrews, right? What did he do?
Rest.
He rested. Very distinct, different from the word Shabbat, right? Two entirely different worlds. Two entirely different words, which tells you there's something our God has in mind. He's going to bring mankind in from the sixth day, as he has created them, and bring them into his rest. That's what the book of Hebrew is all about. Or not all about, but that part. And we went through Hebrews. And it says the Greek word, rest. Doesn't say the word Shabbat. Or Shabbaton. Only one place it does, right? And it's telling, the author is saying, you, there now there is a Shabbat for the people of God. Not because they need a rest, but because of God. Yes?
Notice is God's rest is forever.
Yeah, right. God's rest is forever. God's rest is eternal. God's rest is permanent. Our rest is very temporary. Yes?
Well, Richard, it actually uses the word Shabbat in Genesis 2.
Yes, it does use this word Shabbat in Genesis 2. But it also uses the other Hebrew word of him resting. He rested. It's a different Hebrew word. So you find it also in Psalms, where he says he rested. It's not the word Shabbat. It means I stopped working. He created the Shabbat, yes. Why? Because he stopped working. He stopped making. He stopped creating. He stopped calling. He stopped seeing. All right. Now we enter into his rest. And that's the whole thing about what the book of Hebrews talks about when entering into his rest. It has nothing to do with the Sabbath. The Sabbath is I read that last time. That has a formed period of offense around it. The word Sabbath, he explains that in Hebrew, as a formed word on that word for Sabbath, it's a set period of time. There's borders around it. But in God's rest, there is no borders around it. When we keep the Feast of Tabernacles, people, I want you to keep understanding something. Since the Messiah entered into the Holy of Holies, he's the what? Forerunner.
Oh.
Forerunner of us. So we keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Don't think about keeping it a tent somewhere, and there's a tabernacle there, and inside another tabernacle, which you don't get to go into. When we keep the tabernacle, Feast Tabernacle, we are tabernacling with the Creator of heaven and earth. It's a picture of him and us being together because how can that be possible? Because he, the Messiah, entered into the Holy of Holies. He's a forerunner. We get to enter into the Holy of Holies. Our temporary dwelling is finished. We now have a permanent dwelling place. You understand what I'm saying? A permanent dwelling place. So the Feast Tabernacles tells us, okay, we're going to a permanent location. So that's all symbolism of these tabernacles, as you could head her in toward one place only, and that is to the throne and the living place where God wants you in the first place. By the way, he called. Are you going to say, I'm coming? He says, okay, good. I had to build something for you here. I had to build something. What did Jesus say? I am what? In my Father's house are many mansions. What must I go do?
Prepare.
I got to prepare one. I got to build one. I got to make one. For Christ, I guess that'll work. But, you know, it's his rest place. It's the place where he is resting. Okay, any questions so far? Chapter 1. And I'll get to it real quick and real fast. I think I probably needed not to go. Yes?
I was just wondering, he also proclaimed or declared.
He proclaimed what?
He proclaimed and declared.
Yes.
That's one of the things he also did, chapter 1, that everything that he had done was good.
Yeah.
And there, so therefore there was no evil in it.
No evil in it. Well, yeah, no evil whatsoever.
That's right. So at that point, you can say that that
it was pure, it was holy. It was pure, it was holy and righteous.
That's right.
Nothing was unrighteous about it. God never makes anything unrighteous. Well, that makes anything righteous. He'll act to do something that is harmful to us, which in our world is unrighteousness. But to him, it's just, it's the only way I can deal with you, please. To straighten you out. Yeah, I gotta spank you real hard here, you know. When God spanks somebody, it may take your life. Yes.
Forgive me for not being here for the previous discussion. Did you discuss the difference between Elohim and his spirit over the waters?
Yes. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, you'll find it online. It'll be online. That teaching is online on our whole website.
Okay, now are there any questions? Oh, I do want to go one thing, please, if you don't mind. I think it's very fascinating. If there's no more questions? I like looking up words. And that's an engineering mind, you know. It's the curse or a blessing. Now you want to look at it. Verse 9, he says, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together. I said, that's an interesting. Gathering them together. Why? Why must you gather them together for? Well, also, the earth would come up. Well, I had to do some research. That word is translated quite differently in most places in the Bible. It's translated the word to wait. He gathered the waters together? No. He did something else to the waters. He did what? He waited. Made them wait in one place. Wait. Comes from Hebrew words to take a stand. To stand. Not up, but to stand. And this is the reason why we have this place called the word place. It's the place where a place is not it's a physical thing, yes, but it's something that doesn't move. It doesn't move. The place where Abraham had to sacrifice Isaac, same word, guess where it was? It was on a mountain and didn't move. It was solid. No, get it. It's not like I have a place in this world. No, that's a different word in Hebrew. The place means it's a place that it will not move from that location. It stands perfectly still. Why God said, he says, water, you will not go this far and no farther. Because now you have a place. You're going to wait right where you're supposed to wait. You're going to stand right where you're supposed to stand. You're going to be right until, of course, I tell you to do something different. Which he did, right? So God is in control of all this stuff. It's very fascinating. You know what I'd like to do? Job, you were gathered, but it's the same word. If I wait in the grave, it is my house. Now, we can say, if I gather in the grave, it's my house. Doesn't make sense, right? But in one sense, you start looking about the water is weight. It's in a place of a spot. It doesn't move from its location. The reason why it doesn't move from its location is because the Creator commanded it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't move. Mm-hmm. We think water moves when it's of its own will. I'm sorry. Water does not move on its own will. No river on the face of earth moves on its own will. It moves where God tells it to move, and it doesn't go beyond. Now, we, human beings, have a tendency to say, I want to change the river. I'll put a levee here, levee here, levee here, levee here. Make the whole river move differently. And then, of course, along comes the Creator, and he says, I'm going to bring a big storm here. I'm going to bring back my earth where it's supposed to be, because it was not supposed to move. And then there's a big, huge flood, and the river takes its command where it once was, where God established in the first place. And mankind says, well, we're going to move it again. Stupidity on mankind, in my personal opinion. Yes.
But Richard, that makes sense because all water will always go back to the sea.
Always.
Always.
Always go back.
It's being obedient.
It's being obedient. It's done what it was done. It's done what's great. It's what? It's ketol. Right? Now, and Psalms, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Same word to gather. Same word meaning stand. Let those who stand be not ashamed. Yes.
It's kind of like, well, it seems to be kind of like be still and know that I'm God.
Yeah.
It's just being still.
Wait upon the Lord and be good courage. Well, is that word gather? It was translated there in Book of Genesis, which is kind of saying, okay, just stand firm. Now, where are you supposed to stand firm on?
Rock.
You got it? All right. And the rock is not going to move. That's the place where you need to put yourself and stand. And it says there in the book of Luke, we won't go there. It translates a little bit different, does it, Matthew? And it says, digging it down deep, down onto the rock. Not just building any rock, but down that one that is solid and cannot be moved. All right? I just thought that was interesting. The other ones, they translate sometimes the word look, but you look at it and you just look. He says, the reproach has broken my heart, for I am full of heaviness, and I look for some to take pity. He's not really looking, he's waiting for someone to take pity. He wants someone, he's looking for someone who will stand and take pity. Well, one person going to take pity. That's the creator of heaven and earth, right? He has pity on you, and mercy on you, and kindness on you. All right. Any more questions? I think that's all. I thought that was a fascinating word to go through. Yes?
This is about the sea. Psalm 78, verse 13. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap.
Yeah.
Would that be the same word that they use there?
Same word, to stand?
Stand. Right. Wait. Well, the waters wait. He told them to wait.
I hadn't looked that one up in that scripture. It could very well be. I'm sorry. I have to look that one up. But okay, like the water doesn't move until God tells it move. All right. Okay. So he actually commanded Moses to do it because he gave Moses power to have dominion. So the little bit of power that Moses had, probably the most powerful, quote, human beings that we have on record, in a quote, he opens up his mouth and the sea opens. The rod, the sea opens. That's the power that God said, I will give unto you. But you got to be something like Moses. What was Moses noted for? Being meek. If you're not a meek person, you ain't going to get it.